This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
I'd like to welcome Linda Beckett, an author of children's storybooks. Welcome, Linda.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Before we talk about the current good stuff that you're doing at the moment, what was your background? Have you always written books, or what did you start off doing?
No, in fact, it was something that really evolved. If somebody had said to me 2 years ago that I would write a book, I would have laughed at them. So, really, it started a long time ago. I did an Open University degree in psychology. It was purely done as a hobby. I had to do a foundation course because I hadn't done any A-levels at all. I just had the O-levels. So that comprised of all different subjects, sort of economics, politics, and psychology, geography, that sort of thing. And I wasn't really expecting to pass, but I did pass. And then I thought, well, what sort of thing would I like to do? So I looked at the psychology always interests me. So I decided to do an Open University honours degree in psychology, which actually took me 6 years to do. So that's I sort of look at that as though that's given me sort of quite a bit of credibility to what I'm doing now.
I mean, you're a great example of someone that's done something later in life that there's nothing you can't do, really, if you put your mind to it, actually, isn't it?
That's true. And I think you surprise yourself sometimes as well. And it wasn't until my sons were at junior school that I felt, and I did work a bit of part time. I did teaching assistant at a secondary school in Basingstoke for a while, so it was going on in the background. But when I finally finished the 6 years, obviously that was an achievement
in itself. Definitely. And obviously working in school ties in nicely to the psychology and the writing of children's books as well, so it's almost like all roads led to Rome, really, didn't it?
Yes, you're right, yeah.
Amazing. So doing your degree, you've obviously learnt so much. What made you lean towards writing for children?
Well, the degree I actually completed back in 2004, so that's quite a gap. I continued to do courses, sort of psychology based. I did a diploma in cognitive behavioural therapy. I also did a short training course as an assistant psychologist. And really, the book is really a recent thing. I've always had an interest in mental health issues. And one day I came indoors, and on the TV, they were talking about how primary school children are suffering with mental health issues. And I really wanted to do something to help. Now, as a child, my father used to tell me stories of woodland animals, and sort of these types of animals sort of stayed. It was like a seed of a story in my head, and I thought to myself, well, maybe I can change that story that I have into a book that might help young children. So that's how it kind of evolved.
And you've mentioned the book, but we haven't actually. Can you tell us, well, let the listeners know what the title of your book is called?
Yes, it's called What's Wrong, Artie? And it's about a big brown bear and his friends. And he has a problem to solve. And at first he doesn't want to talk about it. And after a time, his friends group round to help him. And then he's so pleased that he did actually talk about it. So really, it's a story with a strong message. It's an ordinary story, if you like, but it's got that message that, you know, when you're worried about something, then do talk to someone about it, which is really so much in the news these days.
It really is. And not all children find it easy to talk about things
definitely not.
That trouble them.
So it's almost like they're learning through metaphors. It's not like they're thinking, yes. It's like a lesson, but because they're reading it, it's coming in subconsciously, isn't it?
That's right, and that's what I'm going to continue with other books as well.
What age group is this book aimed at?
That's I've put 3 to 8 years old. I think that's probably about right. I've just put into the publishers another book called Caught in the Web, which is about child internet safety. So same age group, again, a lovely little story, but with the strong message of beware who you're talking to online. So,
I mean, going back to the mental health thing that you touched on before, do you think that resilience is a real issue in schools at the moment with children? In other words, a lack of resilience, coping with life?
I think there's all sorts of issues going on in the background, whether it be something at home. But I think schools are doing more and more. I mean, I'm on Twitter nearly every day now, and I'm pleased to see that more and more schools are trying out innovative things.
So what are some things that they're doing?
They're doing perhaps mindfulness, bringing mindfulness into the classroom. So that's sort of meditation, and they're just, some schools are even having perhaps a thought box where children can put what they're worried into a little box, all sorts of different things. So I think that will be really helpful.
I mean, who'd have thought years ago that children would be being taught mindfulness when they become really... I mean, if you'd have said... I think it's because they call it mindfulness rather than we're going to meditate now.
That's right.
Which wouldn't go down as well, but it's phrased differently, isn't it? Which is great.
Yes. Yeah, it is, yeah. But why... I mean, do you think that all schools... Because from what I can see, I think lots of schools are switched on to this, helping the children through their emotional, you know, various emotional stages.
Yes.
You've definitely seen that on Twitter and firsthand then.
Yes. Yes, I have. And what the Royal Family's doing as well, I think that really helps, because the schools that they help, they've actually got counsellors in most of the schools there. And I know a lot of schools can't really afford that, but at least if they had a counsellor attached to them so they could perhaps call them in, I think that would be a good idea as well.
Do you think there's a certain age group where there are more problems? So your books are geared towards 6 to 11 years old of age.
Three to 8 years.
I'm reading your Caught in the Middle.
Yeah, my next one.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
But do you think that there is a particular age group where they are more troubled? Would it be leading up to them leaving the junior school? Or do you think it's just evenly paced through the school years?
It may take some time to actually come out, but... I think having worked in a school, and also I've worked voluntary in an infant school as well, you can kind of see when a child is troubled. So you might get an inkling at that time, but it possibly doesn't come out till later. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when I was looking book-wise, I think there's quite a few self-help books for teenagers.
Yes.
And What's Wrong, Artie is good in that age group. And then you've got books that perhaps talk about emotions, you know, how am I feeling today and that sort of thing, which is great. But when you look at the in-between bits, there's not much for, say, 6 to 11.
Yeah. I think that the earlier you get to talk to children, it's then preventing them maybe developing the mental health issues later on. So if you capture it early enough, I mean, there was a guest that came on a few weeks ago who's developed, they call it a mental health first aid tool, so that there's a way of sort of identifying those students that could be at risk later on of developing issues, which I think is a great idea, because far better to come in before anything's happening than when it's...
Prevention.
Yeah, definitely.
That's right. I see it as my contribution to the mental health industry. So
I love the title. It's a great, title, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very, I mean, I can see children being very attracted to it.
Yeah.
And it's and I love the book cover as well. It's really lovely.
Yes, I've been into preschool and infant school, and they seem to like it, yes.
Something I think is a bit of a shame in a way is how many parents are actually reading to their children compared to what it was like years ago. I think the stats on it are that I've heard it's 50%.
That is a real shame, because I read to my boys every single night. And
I just wonder if it's a social media thing again, trying to sort of get them off the game, or getting them off the iPad, or getting them off the computer to want to read. But maybe they, you know, that's the thing I think causing a bit of an issue.
Mm. Yes, because obviously my boys are grown up, so they didn't really grow up with that social media. In a way, I'm quite glad of that.
But, yes.
But it's all about getting a balance, isn't it? So...
It is. I mean, I definitely read to my children, and those lovely cosy moments are really precious, aren't they? And I think when they go to sleep with a lovely story, that can stay with them until, you know, for quite some time.
Yes.
I think. Yeah. Yes. Can you tell us a little bit more about your other book, Caught in the Web?
Yes, Caught in the Web. It's currently with the publishers, and I must give a shout out for Austin McCauley Publishers.
Ah, yes.
They've been really supportive, especially the marketing department. Caught in the Web, yeah, that's for age 3 to 8 years old again. It's really to warn children of the dangers of the internet. It's Artie the Bear and Friends again. And it's about the same size book as the other one. And really, that should be ready, hopefully, in the new year.
Oh, brilliant. So we look forward to that. So you have to come on again.
Oh, thank
but
you.
Can you tell me how you struck up the relationship with your publisher then? Was that something, did they find you or did you find them?
I found them. I didn't really know the sort of first thing about publishing, to be honest with you. And I wanted to be able to have someone that would be able to market the product for me. And obviously market worldwide, because obviously that costs a fair, you know, a fair bit of money there. So I started looking for publishers, and literally I was doing a search on my phone for publishers, and it popped up in front of me. And I thought, well, I'll give them a try. They're a London publisher, and they have offices in New York, United Arab Emirates. And Australia as well.
Oh, great.
And I think they're opening one in Canada. And I gave them a call and I told them about my idea, about the story and the background and what I was looking to do. And they said, we don't think that's been done before. So I gave it a go. And
wow.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
Yeah,
where can people buy your books then?
Buy it on Amazon.
Yeah.
That's probably the best place. I think that's fairly worldwide.
And it's so easy,
Amazon,
isn't it?
Or direct from the publishers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I've got the publisher's website for you.
Yeah, that would be great.
End. Yeah.
Mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that must have been really exciting for you when you received your first copy of the book. I mean, how did that feel? It must have felt amazing.
Couldn't believe it, really. It took weeks to actually sink in. And I'm really proud of the fact that although it was only published in November, since January it's been in the top 100 bestsellers for children's depression and mental health.
Wow, that's great, Ivana. So,
I mean, you touched on the fact that obviously it can be used as a tool for teachers as well. So how would the teachers incorporate that into schools?
Maybe they'd have a lesson where they want to focus on mental health. With sort of teachers and really with the therapists, and I have spoken to therapists, I sort of thought of it as an icebreaker, because I thought they could probably read the story if they had a child with a problem to kind of create a relaxed atmosphere and then start the therapy. So maybe the teacher could do that at the same time and sort of introduce a sort of associated topic.
How many pages is that first bit that we touched on? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with Artie?
What's wrong with Artie?
Yeah. How many pages is that one?
I think it's 30.
So that's a nice sort of number, isn't it? They can
yes.
do a bit each day and incorporate that into maybe PSHE and things like that.
Yes, there's all sorts of things they could. Yes.
How do you think parents could support young children experiencing mental health difficulties? What do you think they could do more of? To sort of pick it up or to identify it or to... Is it maybe just about listening to them a bit more? Picking up on some subtle cues.
I think so. I think life is very busy, isn't it? And I think it's probably more difficult in some ways in sort of picking it up with your own child. And I think perhaps it's a case of speaking to the school and say, I'm concerned about this, and keeping an eye on them, really.
I've got two boys and a girl, and I know the boys were much more secretive when they were younger, and I remember going on a parenting class and them saying to me, if your son comes into the kitchen and says, oh, what's for tea, Mum? He's not really asking what's for tea, he's saying, I need to talk. And
I've not heard of that one.
It's a great way of starting a conversation, because it's almost like they just want you to say, how was your day? And because boys sometimes find it hard to say, oh, Mum, can we talk? Girls would, I think, more, but boys, I think, sometimes find it hard.
That's right.
So I thought that made a lot of sense to me, actually.
Yeah, they don't always like to admit, do they, that there is an issue. But I think you're right about the time. I think time is such a problem all over.
Yes.
And if the children are suffering, you know, that's not good, is it?
Maybe at bedtime, if they're reading my book at bedtime, maybe that's kind of an introduction. Oh, you know, Artie the Bear was upset, but his friends helped him and now he feels better. So it's always good to tell someone when you're feeling upset. Maybe they could introduce it, like
Yeah, I can imagine that, a child, you know, that story being read to the child and the child interacting, and then a child going to sleep feeling safe, because if they do have a problem, they're feeling that there's an answer.
Yes.
They might not know what the answer is, but the more they read the book, the more that they're thinking, wow, I do feel safe. I'll sleep well tonight.
Yeah.
Cozy. Oh, it's making me reminisce. I wish we had a book like that when mine were younger.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, changing the subject slightly, Linda, you've got a famous relative, haven't you? Tell us a bit about that.
Oh, yes. My famous relative is a cousin of mine. And it was only when I was looking into some history that I came across him. His name is Hugh Foss, and he's either a cryptographer or a crypt analyst, they call them. And he was a major contributor to the breaking of the Enigma code in Bletchley Park. So I'm currently reading a book at the moment about the secrets of Bletchley Park. So I don't know a huge amount, but I hope to. I've always wanted to visit there, and maybe that's been the draw, because I know Kate has visited their royal family. This week, hasn't
yes,
she?
Yes, they're going to dedicate a whole museum, aren't they, to it now?
Yes.
So the timing for your connection is incredible.
I wondered if they kind of, you know, knew one another, really.
How did you find out that you had the famous relative? Have you been doing your family tree, or how did it come about?
No, I was just literally searching on the internet for the family name, which is Foss, on my mother's side, and came across him. And apparently he's very lanky, very tall and lanky, and he's got a big red beard. And also, he loves Scottish dancing.
Oh, my
And God. He's actually devised some Scottish dancing, because he loves the analytical side of it, where you've got to work out the steps. And he's written books on it, and I've just ordered the last one from Amazon.
Goodness. Wow. That's amazing.
I've just got this vision of him doing his Scottish dancing, this very lanky man with a big red beard. So I think that image will stay with me.
Wow.
But yes, I would like to go to Bletchley Park and find out.
Sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's a fascinating place.
Yeah.
And what's a big dream for you going forward, Linda? What would you like to achieve in the future?
Yes, I have got a few dreams. Hopefully one will come true this summer. What I'd really like to see is Artie and his friends made into an animation and be a children's cartoon. Now, I was fortunate enough to be talking to someone that used to know the Tweenies producer, Ian Lachlan, and I've managed to find him on LinkedIn, and I contacted him, and he was really, really, really helpful, really lovely man, and he's actually got a new venture called Cheeky Chimps TV, and he's just started. It's live now. It's on YouTube, and there's a section on it called Read Me a Story, and he's actually invited me along in the summer to film to actually
exciting.
Read my
yes,
book
that's
on
amazing.
The programme. But animation will be the next thing after that.
That will really bring your characters alive, won't
that's
it?
That's right, and I like to be able to tell all different stories and all different topics.
So, so how many are there in the series at the moment? Obviously, you've got one in the pipeline and this one here. Is there more behind before then?
There's one I'm working on at the moment, which is a mental health one, 6 to 11 years old. It's a little bit, it's more difficult, I would say, because I had to decide what topics I was going to cover. So things like bullying, cyberbullying, social media, perhaps self-esteem, that sort of thing. So I've started writing that at the moment, so I'm hoping that will be ready to go to the publishers by the end of the year.
Mm, because by the end of year 11, age 11, sorry, at school, they're getting ready to go to senior school, aren't they? And their issues are bigger.
Yes.
Their issues are bigger, so yeah, I look forward to reading that one.
Thank you, yeah.
One final question, Linda, but if you could talk to a younger you, say 20 years ago, what would you say to her?
I would say something like, have more confidence in yourself. You can do it. Because I think I lacked confidence for probably into my 30s even, but as I've done more and more, I've realised that I can achieve.
Yeah, and obviously the time was right for you when it happened. So
yes.
It's all kind of tied
in,
isn't it?
That's right.
Thank you, Linda. As you know, we sometimes like to ask our guests for advice. What would you say, for example, to listeners out there thinking of writing a book?
I would say go for it. You don't know until you try.
Perfect. And if listeners want to find out more about your book, how can they do that?
I can be found on LinkedIn. I also can be found on the publisher's website at austinmccauley.com.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So that was Linda Beckett, author of What's Wrong, Artie?
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.